Removing the Deception by Jacqueline Fedor. We have exposed many lies and false doctrines over the years, but the deception we are discussing now has been without a doubt the most dangerous to humanity and, in fact, all creation. This false doctrine, or even the lack of God's knowledge on this portion of Scripture, conceals or hides a key to the victory of the cross and our restoration. I am referring to the account of the brazen serpent. You see, the church for the most part teaches the story of the brazen serpent recorded in Numbers chapter 21 as a forerunner of Christ's cross. They use what Jesus said in John chapter 3 as their proof. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The real meaning of this scripture will be revealed later. Some also teach the reason God was angry with old Israel was their lack of faith and fear to enter into the promised land. There are so many different perspectives on these scriptures that are unfortunately hiding Christ's victory from man. So let us begin to unravel the lies spawned by the wisdom Eve chose by shining God's light on this account found in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. Then they, old Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. They held God and his leadership responsible for their problems. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Your fault we haven't made it to the promises. For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. That is what they thought of God's provision. The people of that time did not know the manna represented the bread of life, as we should today. So the Lord, not the enemy, the Lord, sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And many of the people of Israel, God's people, died. Could this be a valuable lesson for God's people today? Are we disgruntled with God, those over us, displeased with truth, spiritual manna that requires us to change? Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, a molten image, and set it on a pole for all to see. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, not God, not Moses, shall live." So Moses made a statue of a bronze serpent. This is what God wanted the people to look at instead of him or his leadership, or anyone for that matter, and put it on a pole so all could see it plainly, no one deceived, and put the blame where it belonged. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, recognized what really caused the problems they encountered, he lived. Remember, these were God's people. They knew all about the serpent in the garden. To give us a clearer picture of what happened there and how it applies to today, let us look in the Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew dictionary at the word brazen. Brazen, 5178, a masculine noun, nekosheth, for 5154, copper, hence something made of that metal, i.e. coin, a fetter, figuratively base, as compared with gold or silver, brazen, brass, chain, copper, fetter of brass, filthiness, steel. Notice next a female counterpart. 5154. Nekusha, or Nekusha, feminine of 5153. Copper, brass, steel. This shows us a female version of the brazen image also. So that was the word brazen. Now, let us look at the word serpent as used in Numbers chapter 21. In verse 8, it shows us the serpent was symbolic of the nature of what was actually a seraph, an angel. Serpent, Hebrew 8:3-4, seraph, from 8:3-13, burning, i.e., figuratively, poisonous serpent. Specifically, a seraph, an angel, or symbolical creature, from their copper color, fiery serpent, seraph. In verse 9, we will see the serpent image Moses made was actually depicting a magician of sorts. Serpent, Hebrew 5:1-5, Nakash, from 5:1-7:2, a snake, from its hiss, serpent. Now look at this. 5:1-7:2, Nakash, a primitive root, properly to hiss, i.e. whisper a magic spell, generally to prognosticate, certainly divine, enchanter. Use enchantment. Learn by experience. Indeed, diligently observe. Doesn't sound like a normal snake, does it? And remember, there's a female version of this. We know her as Leviathan, or Babylon. Side note, to explain why the word serpent was used there, much like when the Pharisees told Jesus to leave because Herod wanted to kill him. He said, "Tell that fox I will keep on driving out demons and healing people." He didn't mean Herod was a fox literally, but clever, fox-like. So likewise, Satan is snake-like. So can you see what and who the brazen serpent is, along with his counterpart from those definitions? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. With this truth on our minds, let us now look at John chapter 3, verse 14, the church's supposed proof for the brazen serpent being a forerunner of the cross or punishment for our lack of faith. John chapter 3, verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so God's people could see who was really behind the things that happened. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so everyone can see and appreciate the full restorative story of what happened there also." You see, what Jesus was really saying, until you see the pole, you will never see the extensiveness of the cross and all it did for creation. Now for proof of this truth, let me show you the definition of this serpent found in John also, as it is New Testament, and therefore in the Strong's Greek dictionary. Serpent, Greek 3789, ophis, probably from 3700, through the idea of sharpness of vision. A snake, figuratively, as a type of sly cunning, an artful, malicious person, especially Satan, serpent. See how off the church that taught this as a picture of the cross was? Remembering there was a female serpent also, so the image depicted Satan and his bride, Leviathan, or Babylon. This is a counterfeit of Jesus and his bride, New Jerusalem. Why the lies? The enemy knows quite well the spiritual laws of God. He knows all things will be as you believe. Spiritual law. And he will therefore work very hard to keep us in spiritual darkness and believing his lies. Now, with our eyes of discernment open to Satan, let us look at this glorious prophecy in Isaiah chapter 25, verses 7 through 9. I will include the Strong's at the end to show you the definitions. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 7 through 9. And he, God, will destroy on this mountain, the mountain of Hebrews 12, the surface, face, of the covering cast over all people, the brazen serpent, and the veil of deception that is spread, cast metal, poured out over all nations. He, God, will swallow up, destroy, death forever. Is this not a glorious promise? And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, Behold, this is our God, we have waited for him, waited for his promises to be manifested. And he will save us, restore us, renew us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Complete salvation. Remember, God will swallow up death forever. Okay, let us turn to the Strong's Concordance again to see what the Lord intends to do from his mountain and take a good look at when this could happen. God said he would destroy the surface of the covering. So let us begin by looking at the word surface. Surface, Hebrew 6440, panim, from 6437, the face, before time, countenance, mouth. So God will destroy the face, the countenance, the mouth of the covering cast over all the people. It was predestined before time. Strong's again will show us who this covering is that is cast over all people. Covering, 3874, lute, a primitive root, to wrap up, cast, wrap. 3875, lote, from 3874, a veil, covering. Pay close attention to the next definitions of covering. 3909, lot, from 3874, properly covered, i.e., secret, by implication, incantation, also secrecy, or adverb, covertly, enchantment, privily, secretly, softly. See the serpent? Now, let us look at the veil. Hebrew 4:5-4:1. Maseka, from 5:2-5:8. Properly, a pouring over, i.e., fusion of metal, especially a cast image. The image of the brazen serpent. A coverlet, as if poured out, covering, molten image, veil. 5258, Nasak, a primitive root to pour out, to cast, metal, to anoint a king, cover, cause to pour out. Spread, 5259, Nasak, a primitive root, probably identical with 5258 through the idea of fusion, to interweave. This image is interwoven on all people, i.e. figuratively, to overspread. 5258, Nasak, a primitive root, to pour out, to cast, metal. The image again, by analogy, to anoint a king, cover, cause to pour out. We have looked at the brazen serpent as described as a serpent, a covering over the people. Now, let us look at him as he is, an angel or cherub. The account found in Ezekiel chapter 28 helps us to see and understand why God created him in the first place and how we are affected by it. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. God made him a perfect covering for earth and all on it, but he turned evil. You were on the holy mountain of God, the mountain at Hebrews chapter 12. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones, or stones of fire, God's government. Remember Obadiah chapter 1 verse 18? The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. In fact, let's just turn to the account in Ezekiel and take a really good look at the anointed cherub depicted by the brazen serpent. Ezekiel chapter 28 verses 11 through 18. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. Tyre means black rock. He was the person used at that time as the vessel Satan worked through. And say to him, speaking to the devil inside of him, Thus says the Lord God, You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom. His vast knowledge became warped and is now the base of man's intellect, and perfect in beauty. This is why he looks so appealing to people today. His persona shines through those he possesses. You were in Eden, the garden of God. No one was there but Adam and Eve, Christ and Satan. So you can see God was speaking to another entity other than King Tyre. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond. Beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. He was originally heaven's chief musician. See why the world's music is so drawing? Was prepared for you on the day you were created. God himself made him absolutely perfect. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. He was meant to be faultless, a perfect vessel, to guard us, protect us from both realms. But he turned evil. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. Again, God's government, living stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. All his characteristics were meant to be a blessing to creation. He was to be a perfect protection, a secure covering. but he turned evil and has been shaping his world and people to his image. God sees the end from the beginning. So as we saw in Isaiah, he will destroy him, his world, its systems, and people. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, rich and ruthless, and you sinned. This next part is the future of Satan, already predestined in God's plan. Therefore I cast you as a profane thing, one who has tainted all things he touches, out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, swallowed him, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Again, his government. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Pride produced lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and taught these traits to man. Remember, he profaned all things. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor, twisted it to make himself look good. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings, that they might gaze at you. All will soon see who he really is. You defiled your sanctuaries, places of safety for your people. By the multitude of your iniquities, the father of sin, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore I brought fire from your midst, truth trumpeted by the stones of fire. In other words, God will destroy through his government. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. Those that see the pole see him as the instigator of all sin. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror, and shall be no more forever. The fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 25. I surely hope we have successfully raised the brazen serpent, the anointed cherub, high enough everyone can see who is really behind every problem on earth today. All sin, starting with Eve, originated with this wily evil serpent. He has caused mankind and all creation to be out of sync with their Creator, and therefore out of order with the universe itself. He does not want to see Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 fulfilled for sure. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, when mankind can see, they can do nothing without God. He might gather together in one all things, his whole creation, in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Thankfully, in God's predestined plan, there is an answer to how the enemy is defeated. When we see Satan on the pole as the father of all sin and make him the scapegoat for all creation, we will begin to better understand God's solution. Christ on the cross. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8 shows us, even those that do not know and love Christ will in the end worship him according to God's plan predestined from the earth's creation. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Please pay attention to what I'm going to say here. As old Israel stood at the edge of the Promised Land, they were fearful, angry, and mad at all the wrong things. God was very angry with them, and they did not get to enter His rest or receive the promises He wanted for them. Today, we are about to enter God's promised land, His wonderful kingdom once again. What do we see as the cause of our problems? Have we blamed God for what has happened in our lives, or perhaps His leadership? Have politicians disappointed us, or the world systems? Money? Education? It's religions. Maybe we see our families at fault. Do you realize none of the above have anything to do with your problems? They are all just the fruit of the tree of good and evil. The brazen serpent. The anointed covering cherub. Plainly said, the devil. He is completely guilty of every evil thing from Eve to you and I today. It is because of him our lives are destroyed. And because of his influence in our lives that God's promises are not met concerning us. Oh, if humanity would stand still for just 5 minutes and all face the pole, looking at the brazen serpent, and forgive everyone of all circumstances. If they would take every sin they ever committed and throw them at the brazen serpent and turn to the cross and say, "Thank you, Father, for your predestined plan for our restoration. And thank you, Yeshua, for manifesting your part in his plan. Thank you for making us holy, not because of what we've done, but because of what you've done." When did all this start? In Genesis, Father told Adam and Eve if they ate the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, they would die. Eve was beguiled by the serpent, and death was introduced to earth. The death of loved ones, pets, even our plants, trees, and flowers, has brought much heartache to man. Yeshua fixed it all by giving his own life to cancel the debt of our rebellion, to cover our iniquity. The next move this cunning serpent-natured cherub did was to talk the angels into crossing with the daughters of man, hoping to produce a race of people that would be superior to those Father had created. Instead, sickness, disease, all kinds of birth defects came into being. Again, the cross came to our rescue. As Yeshua lifted the glass of wine, saying, "This is my blood," he also, as the last thing on the cross, drank the sour wine, the vinegar, and took it to the grave, making it possible for us to be baptized into his death and be resurrected a new creature with clean blood. Then we can enter into the blood covenant of communion to receive his eternal life. Remember, life is in the blood. I could go on and on about all our Lord has done for us. But what we must understand, everything Satan has caused God's creation to do wrong, Yeshua has made right. The mighty Jehovah conceived in his mind a perfect universe, a perfect creation, including Satan himself, and Yeshua brought it into being. Father said, "Let there be light," and Yeshua made it appear as a sun and a moon. Earth and all on it were brought into being in the same manner. Everything was perfect until Satan fell into iniquity. All he had jurisdiction over became like him. In other words, you and I were meant to be perfect. Because of God's great love for his creation, all will be righteous. Back in sync with the rest of his perfect universe, including us. Our restoration depends on our personal perspective. And our perspective will be derived from the knowledge we are feeding ourselves. Eve ate from the tree of good and evil. We see where mankind ended up. In closing, let us eat from the tree of life. See the pole, the brazen serpent, the anointed cherub's covering, and above all, the cross. God's predestined plan to right all things for all creation.